Montreal.
Hello, you're listening to CJLO News. Booing and jeering at the Meet the Candidates event in NDG for the federal election, at the absence of sitting MP Anna Ganey.
This is not right.
The Meet the Candidates event is hosted by the NDG Community Council every Canadian federal election. It's a chance for community members to get to know the platforms of the candidates running in the riding for a seat in the House of Commons. Malcolm Lewis Richmond from the NDP, Marc Perez from the People's Party, Félix Antoine Borel from the Bloc Québécois, Arnold Downey from the Green Party, and independent Alex Trainman Montegano attended the event to answer community questions. Conservative candidate Neil Drapkin was absent, and most notably, sitting MP and Liberal candidate Anna Ganey was not in attendance. Ganey had sent two pre-recorded answers on housing and immigration to the event, which were played on a screen. Multiple members of the audience booed, walked out, and turned their backs.
$3 trillion in debt. No, but how the government no, debt? No, why are the houses going to come?
Excuse me, we cannot.
Anna Ganey has canceled multiple public appearances in the riding, including her own campaign launch in March. The day after the NDG candidates meeting, Ganey was scheduled to appear at a meet-and-greet in the Montreal West Library, but canceled the moment it was scheduled to start.
I am so sorry. I'm shocked as much as you are.
Here is the organizer of that event, librarian Deborah Marcoglese.
I really wanted to know a little bit about her, like personally, so I had a bunch of silly questions to ask that I'm asking all the candidates. The second thing I was very interested in knowing is, what does she know about Montreal West? Like, what are the big issues that, like, federally are concerning Montreal West?
Ganey had walked into the library and turned around and walked right out before calling in to cancel. There was a group of community members from the riding representing the group Vote for Palestine there. They were hoping to talk to Ganey about their platform this election. One of their members, Samer Alkdor, says she believes Ganey left because she saw them and did not want to face the questions they had about Ganey's positions on Israel-Palestine.
We're here today to talk to her, and just like any other citizen in this country. And I heard that she canceled because she doesn't feel safe. I don't know why. Just seeing the keffiyehs maybe is scary for her.
What were you hoping to ask her if she came in and sat down? What would you have said to Anna?
Like, at least to endorse the Palestine platform and to see her stand on Palestine, since she's running for the elections right now. So this is like really important for issue, since I'm Palestinian. I have family in Gaza. So we need to know about the people that we're going to elect if they're going to do anything in regards to Palestine.
NDG Westmount is projected to go Liberal and is considered a Liberal stronghold riding. Matthew Taylor is a doctoral candidate at the University of Montreal who studies party politics in Canada. He has a theory for why Ganey is not making many public appearances.
This is a riding that basically the Liberals need to be having a catastrophically bad election for them not to be winning. And for a candidate, that's going to create a lot of incentives to just not bother showing up in events. The worst you can do is actually hurt your campaign and yourself and your own standing by doing that, which, you know, I would say is a democratically problematic dynamic, but it is a dynamic nonetheless.
I'm standing out here in front of Anna Ganey's constituency office here in Westmount. Ganey has consistently denied an interview request with CJLO News for unspecified reasons. No one has spoken with me. I've knocked on the doors and I've been ignored by the people within the office. This is not for trying. We've attempted multiple times to phone Ganey's constituency office and her parliamentary office.
For the Local Journalism Initiative, I'm Adam Innes.
Do you want to have a discussion about movies?
You talking to me?
And have the iconic sounds of cinema? Well, tune in to At the Movies with Iconic Sounds every Tuesday mornings from 8 to 9 a.m. only on CJLO 1690 AM with your host, Remy.
Are you not entertained? Are you not entertained? Production Nuit d'après invites you to discover new talent with its World Music Showcase, the 18th edition of Cité d'Or dans la musique du monde. Come discover 36 acts every Tuesday and Wednesday at Club Balatou until April 9th. Take part in the free showcase concerts and vote for your favorite artists. More info on Cité d'Or.com, Facebook, and Instagram.
If you like...
All right. Let's do this. All right. Can we hear everything now? Let's do this. You're listening to...
I can hear you, yes.
All right. Hey, you're on the air live. Let me turn them off for 1 second. You're listening to Electric Messiah Radio on CJLO 1690 AM live in Montreal. You just heard Enslaved by the band Vilt. Vilt. Where are they from? Linköping, Sweden. I hope I pronounced that right. Doesn't matter. Then you heard Necrophobic with their new song Blackened the Horizon from a 3-song EP. They're from Stockholm, Sweden. Today we have a guest. Let's get him on the air right now. Brian, are you there?
I'm here. How are you doing?
I'm good. Hey, I think it's working. You know what? We'll only find out after the show because no one's here to tell me. No one's listening where you are, and I don't know who's listening over here, but we're on the air now.
Fantastic.
All right.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, you're welcome. So for the people listening, Brian, tell them a bit about yourself.
I am the merchandiser for a band called Darkest Hour here out of Washington, D.C. Been doing merch for about 15 years now. My first tour was Thrash and Burn 2010. I've worked for a few other relatively popular bands here and there. Some have come and gone. Some are still around. And in the meantime, in between tours, here in Maryland and D.C., I am a freelance stagehand, and it is now festival season and stadium concert season, so I will be building stages for bands like AC/DC, Metallica, artists like Shakira, stuff like that. So I've got a pretty busy summer ahead of me. So
yeah, that sounds busy. You're not on tour right now, I'm assuming.
No, actually, I am sitting in my car out in front of my parents' house.
That's right. That's how you do a proper interview. So we met at the Darkest Hour show in Montreal at Piranha Bar with Ex Mortis and Darkest Hour. Tell me about that part of that tour.
What, that particular show, or
yeah, because I was excited to see Decapitated.
Right. Yeah. The night before, I guess, as we were in the process of crossing over, we got word that their bus that they were also sharing with Incantation had broken down. And so that they had actually had to miss the first show of our Canadian leg of the tour. And fortunately for us, a great, great friend of the band, the wonderful Dave Boucher, was able to help us with a throw-and-go kind of show. We just kind of, winged it and...
Yeah,
worked out. It was a pretty surprising turnout. The place was awesome.
Yeah,
I think it was probably one of the better shows of the tour, just because of the whole spontaneous aspect of it. We didn't even know if there was actually going to be a show, and then 2 hours before everybody showed up, we got word that there was another venue, and
it was go time.
No, we made it happen.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
It
was a really good show. I mean. There was about, I don't know, 80 people there or something, and everyone made it work.
100 people or so.
Yeah. What was it?
It was awesome. It was really fun.
Yeah. So let's talk about merch for a bit. Why are t-shirts $55 at a concert? when the ticket's $30? I know I'm going to throw the worst question at you right away. I went to, let me give you an example. This past week, I went to go see Franz Ferdinand. Maybe not the best example of a band because they're, you know, they're a popular, pretty popular band. $55 for the shirt. I think I paid $51 for the ticket.
Is Franz Ferdinand from the States?
No, they're from Scotland. They're from Scotland. But I'll be fair, there was a band that opened them for them called Telescreens, and they're from New York City, and their shirts were $55. And for some reason, they were selling CDs, something that I don't understand. I get it. People want CDs. They want cassette tapes. But, I mean...
Yeah. I mean, for that part, I mean, a lot of people just like to have something physical to hold, you know, like for me, I was always one of those kids that liked to open the CD, read the lyrics, read the thank yous, you know, just take the whole thing in, you know, like sometimes the artwork of the album kind of told part of the story that went along with the album and the songs and lyrics and such. So for me, that's kind of why I hold CDs and tapes at from shows like that, more personal to me. But as far as the t-shirt sales and stuff and like the prices and stuff, honestly, it all has to do a lot with the exchange rates and how much people are going to get paid, how much we have to pay in taxes when we cross the border and stuff.
Right.
So, like, if we have more than $10,000 when we cross the border going back into the States, we have to fill out more tax forms and stuff like that. And, you know, like, it's all just a game, honestly. You know, like, I wish I could sell shirts for... you know, $20 to everybody. You know, I personally think it's a ripoff.
Right.
Sometimes, you know, when some bands, you know, jack the price just because of popularity purposes and stuff like that, you know, like,
right.
I think, you know, I don't really agree with that. You know,
like,
I was actually in the hunt for, an album right now. And here in the States, the 25-year anniversary of the album is $65 on vinyl. And I was like, nope.
I don't buy vinyl. How much is vinyl? How much is an average, $20, $30?
$35. Oh, like, for me, when I'm on tour with Darkest Hour, you know, we try and keep it as fair as possible and still cover our costs. And honestly, like, the costs vary. It's not just the cost of the merchandise that we have to cover. It's the cost of the gas. It's the cost of paying people like myself, our tour manager, our lighting guy, the sound guy, you know, the tour bus, the bandwagon, you know, the driver. Like, it's all kind of worked into
the overall cost
of the merchandise.
Mm.
Yeah.
Are you trying to tell me that... it's not just the cost of the t-shirt alone at the manufacturer, even though they may be able to get it for $20 and the shirt might be $45 or $50, that money's still going to other places.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it's all kind of really accounted for, you know, and honestly, you know, people, you know, they're not doing this for free, even though that, you know, they love going out and performing for you guys and stuff. It's, you know, they still have wives, kids, houses, bills to pay for themselves and stuff. You know, it's like the guys need to make money to sustain continued touring in general. You know, they need to up their equipment and stuff like that. You know, there's always a cost that needs to be covered somewhere along the lines, whether, you know, it's the person in the band making a salary so they can pay their rent for that month and, you know, keep a car under, you know, under their feet so they can get to work when they're not touring and stuff. Cause you know, a lot of us have second jobs. It's, you know, we can't tour 365 days out of the year,
right?
You know? So like, we kind of have to, like, that's, you know, it's literally where the bands make their money.
Right.
So,
right. Naturally. Yeah. As someone that goes to shows, the average person may not understand the detailed costs, and I'm that person. This is why I have you on the show, to ask these questions, because my coworker said, you know what, just get a radio show and ask a merch guy. Stop telling us that the t-shirts are $50. So I did.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's a lot. I mean, like, you got to, I mean, think of, like, the price of, like, how much a shirt is at an arena tour, and how much goes into putting on an arena show, and how many truckers are involved with bringing all the equipment to the stages and stuff, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, I did a concert for Beyonce at one of the stadiums here in Washington, D.C. Mm-hmm. I think she had, like, 50 semi-trucks alone. Like, it's absurd.
And every single person there needs to get paid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, exactly. I mean, there was, like, 20 producers and 20 production buses alone, and she wasn't even there, you know, which to me, I think is a, like, way overboard, but I mean, that's not the world that I work in. It's not, I mean, I'll build her stage, you know, but like,
yeah,
you know, it all factors into the price. And that's why, you know, like the higher, the bigger the show is, the higher the cost of the merchandise, you know, I paid $90 for a Wu-Tang hoodie. And honestly, I spent that, like, you know, I was happy to spend it.
Yeah.
Because I know it was going to a group that I, like, absolutely love.
Absolutely.
You know?
Yeah.
But I'm not going to buy a $65 hardcore vinyl.
Right.
For, you know.
I understand the Wu-Tang hoodie. You gave a great example. I think that was the best example. I would also spend $90 on a Wu-Tang hoodie. I don't think I own any Wu-Tang paraphernalia. Yeah. Yeah.
You should get some.
Oh, I love Wu-Tang. I definitely will get some. All right, I have more questions for you.
Are you going to their farewell tour?
Well, is it the farewell tour? I don't know if it was promoted that way, but if it is, I might go. Run the Jewels is opening for the tour. And I've seen Run the Jewels a couple times. I've seen Wu-Tang a couple times. Now I got to factor in cost, you know, of all the, there's so many shows. I want to go see all the shows. But I think because I've seen them a bunch of times, I'm going to say no this time. What do you think? It's tough.
I mean, if it is what they say it is, you know, I mean,
look, Slayer did. I went to the last Slayer show. I might go see them again in Quebec City this summer.
I was so pissed off because I went to the one in Hershey, and then two, 3 years later, I was like, "Oh, there it is.
There it is.
Knew it.
I knew it too. I called it. Jay-Z, remember Jay-Z did the Black Album. We all knew that wasn't going
to. Oh, was he supposed to call it quits after that too?
That was it. It was over at that point.
And then there was something like the Gray Album after that or whatever.
Oh, everything is gray after that. No, and now he's just referred to as Beyonce's husband. But he still puts out albums. no, I mean, Kiss just, you know, did their final world tour. And they just announced a show last week or 2 weeks ago. I don't...
One of those when I was in 10th grade.
Yeah, right? Have you seen Kiss before?
Yeah, I saw one of their farewell tours with Skid Row.
One of their farewell tours, yeah.
Yeah,
I believe it. All right, let's play one of your songs. Let's play Heaven Shall Burn.
Sure.
Do you have anything to say about this song?
I'm kind of like a, you know, big metalcore kid at heart and stuff like that, and you know, I was really happy to see that they were coming out with a new song after a while, and you know, I kind of miss the band, so you know, I kind of wanted to give them a little plug here. So
have you ever
love the song. I think it's great.
Do you know the band? Have you toured with the band?
No, I have not actually. I was just kind of, you know, one of those kids that just listened to a lot of bands, and I fortunately got lucky to get a phone call one day from a band that I really loved, and you know what, I've done a lot with them and stuff, you know, but I've met a lot of people, but unfortunately I have not met these guys yet.
Eventually. Soon enough. All right.
Eventually, hopefully.
Yeah. All right. So the song is My Revocation of Compliance. It's Heaven Shall Burn. And we'll be back with Brian right after this on CJLO 1690. CJLO, 1690 AM, Electric Messiah Radio. We're talking to a big friend of the show, Brian, out in Baltimore. Are you in Baltimore right now, Brian?
Actually, I am right in between D.C. and Baltimore, so...
Okay. Great, you don't have to deal with all the...
Actually, I grew up closer to D.C. than I did Baltimore, though.
Okay. What's your favorite sports team out there? Are you an NFL watcher?
By default, I guess I was a Skins fan, but you know, the Commanders, after you know the rebranding, the you know new ownership, a lineup change. I'm a Commanders fan now. More so than I was.
Especially after this season.
Team before.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. I'm a Commanders fan now.
Yeah. Oh my God, that was like, believe me, all of us here, we were just like, this is not real.
It's fun when your team sucks for a long time and then all of a sudden they're good. The entire, not just the neighborhood, the region start, you can feel everybody like lighting up a bit.
Oh yeah, you know, like even people that were swearing that they would never root for the new team, you just randomly see them in a hat.
Yeah, that's right. Like, the Montreal Canadiens just made the playoffs the other day. So in Canada right now, we're having an election on the 28th of April. It's a Trump election. Who can deal with Trump the best? This is really what's going on right now, Brian. And
good luck.
Yeah. Wait, what were we just talking about? Oh, yeah. And then the Habs. So they had a French debate and an English debate.
Uh-huh.
And on the night of the French debate, they moved the debate to 6 p.m. because the Habs were playing at 8 p.m. That's very Canadian.
I went to a hardcore show one time at a biker bar in Virginia, and we had to leave the show for 3 hours in between bands. I think there were five bands. So like the first two or three played, we had to leave for 3 hours because all the bikers there wanted to watch some motorcycle race for Memorial Day.
Really?
And then we had to come back and finish out the show with Caliban was actually the headliner at some random biker bar in the middle of Virginia.
Yeah.
Completely out of place.
Were there any people left for the show after the 3 hours?
Yeah, actually, I think more people stayed because the bikers were kind of interested in what was going on, and some of them heard some stuff that was like, "Oh man, I could get down to this." And then they heard Caliban, and they were just like, "Oh, what is this?" they were not ready for early 2000 Caliban.
Yeah. That's great.
It was a magical moment to watch it on their faces, just realize what they had gotten themselves into.
Yeah. All right. Let me see. Let's ask some actual questions I got here.
Sure.
Who decides who makes all the merch? I'm assuming it's the band, the styles and everything.
Basically it's Mike, the founding member of Darkest Hour. He's the kind of the band dad of the thing. He kind of handles all the business side of everything. So like when it comes to designs and stuff like that, and ordering how much merch and where it comes from, it's all really up to him. Since he's the one that handles everything else, you know, why not?
Right.
Him.
How many T-shirts?
I'm sorry.
No, continue with your thought.
Oh, no, I'm just saying, like, I'm just the guy that sells the shirts, you know, like, I can tell them what we're low on and stuff like that.
Right.
And, you know, like, what's more popular than others, you know, like,
yeah.
That's about the input that I can give them, you know.
Right.
Other than, hey, man, you know, maybe two long sleeve shirts.
Yeah.
You know, something like that, you know.
Right. Is there a piece of merch that always sells out?
No, I'm just saying, you know, it'd be, like, kind of fun to vary it up a little bit, but, like, other than that, like, I don't tell him what to do or how to do it, or, you know, like, it's not really my place.
No.
You know?
Right.
You know, like, I could say, like, oh, I think this would look cool if we did it in green, you know, but, like, other than that, like,
it's up to
about them. My 2 cents worth of, yeah, you know.
That's right. Is there a merch that sells out more than others? More that's, you know, do long sleeves to hats, like, is there something that
I mean, a lot of people like hats are pretty quick to go. A lot of people, you know, like hoodies are usually pretty quick to go. It just really depends on the design. you know?
Right.
And sometimes it's really depending on how you market it. When we were on the Decapitated tour, we had a limited, we kind of labeled it as a limited death metal logo, because Darkest Hour really isn't, you know, a death metal band per se.
Right.
You know, they've got their influences, but, you know, they're kind of their own band, you know.
What kind of a genre would Darkest Hour be?
You know, to me, it's, you know, they, to me, they were, you know, like a DC hardcore band, and, you know, then they kind of went the way of a band like At the Gates and, you know, Carcass and stuff. So it's like that European, like, Gothenburg-y,
right,
kind of inflamed.
Someone told me they were an American At the Gates, and I said, that's okay, that's fine with me.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
You know, like Black Dahlia is kind of like an American Carcass.
Right. What are the fans like on tour? Do fans treat you like you're part of the band, or do you know? Are there any wild stories from the merch table?
I've had a few instances. I mean, I've had 99% of the time, everybody is amazing.
Right.
I love hearing their stories. You know, trust me, the band means just as much to me as it does to the people telling me their stories, you know, but it's not my time for me to tell my stories. It's, you know, I'm there to listen to them. You know, I'm a representative of the band when the band is not around, you know, so like,
right.
I kind of, you know, treat them the way that the band treats everybody, you know. You know, sometimes, you know, you've got that one person that you just kind of have to, like, call out and check, you know, be like, hey, bro.
Yeah.
Too close, or like, hey, man, you know, you're like,
yeah,
you know, what, five hugs is enough, you know.
Right. Yeah.
You know, stuff like that, you know, but like, every now and then you just get that one drunk person that just thinks they're being funny.
Yeah.
And they're not.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like they can't read the room, or like they're, you know, I don't know. I mean, I used to drink, and I don't anymore. And, you know, like, I kind of, like, it's like, wow, was I that person? And I was like, I was.
Yeah, I used to drink, so, and I don't anymore. And I definitely have been that person multiple times. Right?
Yeah. You know, and then you think back, and, like, at least I did. I was like, oh, man, I should probably be like, my bad, dude.
Yeah.
You know, like, I'm sorry, I was talking your ear off last night or whatever, you know.
Yeah, it's funny because
I said something stupid and made you mad.
Yeah, I bet the guy wakes up the next day too saying the exact same thing, like, oh man, that type of thing. And
yeah,
we know that, you know. So to the guy out there that did that, just don't do it again. We're aware that you're a decent person.
I actually watched it happen in real time, like, an hour after it happened. We were on tour with In Flames years ago.
And I love In Flames, yeah.
You know the kids in Hammerhead?
No.
You ever heard of that band, Hammerhead?
Oh, like the folk metal band? No. You know what? No, I don't know what you're talking about, but continue.
The brothers from St. Louis.
Oh, no, I don't. But I'm sure, I know that people are listening right now. They're probably yelling at the radio going, yeah, Hammerhead. Okay, so yeah, Hammerhead.
So so they were the opening band on the In Flames tour, and this one drunk guy came up to the table and was trying to buy one of their CDs, and their mom was actually selling merch for them, being that the fact that the youngest brother was 16 at the time on tour. And he thought he was being funny, trying to make some, you know, jokes, and here and this, that, and the other, and he was just not coming across that way at all, and turned out to just, he was just being really rude, and, you know, kind of rattled their mom, you know, like, she was just kind of, like, startled a little bit, like, this is what it's gonna be like, and stuff.
Yeah.
the lead singer, which is the oldest brother, came up back up to the table after they played, and the guy came over as she was telling them what happened, and he's like, is this the guy? And he's like, you need to back away. He, like, just immediately, like, beefed up and, like, protected his mom and, you know, told the guy, like, just embarrassed him. And he's like, I don't care if you want to buy my stuff. You're not going to do it.
Right.
You know, like, I'm not selling it to you.
Right.
And good. I'm like, good for you, man.
Yeah.
Good for you. You know, I mean, I've had to tell people I'm not selling something to you because of some stupid comment that they made they thought was going to be funny. And it just, you know, wrong place, wrong crowd. Like, if you were a real fan of the band, you would not make that joke.
Yeah.
In, you know, in whatever way it was made, you know.
Yeah.
In my instance, you know, this guy was making, he made her put her phone down, flip it over. He was making, you know, weird.
Terrifying the mother.
About being videotaped and not,
oh my
being,
God.
Not being George Orwell's 84. And, you know, this dude was crazy.
That's horrible.
And he came back later with his tail tucked between his legs. He's like, can I buy the CD? He's like, no.
That's good. I'm glad that he said no.
No.
Yeah. Just get out of here.
Oh, yeah. No, I was super proud of
that. Yeah, yeah, yeah. We're going to do another promo, and we're going to bring you right back. Everyone, stay here. You're listening to Electric Messiah, CJLO 1690. We'll be right back.
If you like served with a side of a little bit of and a heaping helping of then you're gonna love BVST, your best and worst of rock and roll, country, punk, and metal, every Wednesday from 7 to 9, right here on CJLO 1690 AM.
Dive into the ultimate comic haven at Crossover Comics. Unleash your inner geek with the best selection of graphic novels, manga, games like Pokemon and Magic, in-store events, merch, and more. Our knowledgeable and friendly staff have got your back with awesome recommendations for your next read. Score big with a free account. Enjoy comic subscriptions and membership discounts. Be in on the action at 3560 Notre Dame West in St. Henry, right near Metro Lionel Blue. Crossover Comics, sharing your passions since 2012.
And we're back. Brian?
Hey.
Hey. All right, so let's play a song. We're going to play a song, and then we're going to come back. So we played Heaven Shall Burn. Let's play a song. Let's play...
Oh.
You want to play End? Gaping Wounds of Earth?
Yeah.
Let's
get a little pissed off right now.
Yeah, all right, let's do that. All right, everybody, this is End, Gaping Wounds of Earth, CJLO 1690.
Just
All right, we're back. 9:50 CGLO 1690 AM live in Montreal, Electric Messiah Radio. We've been talking to Brian, who works with Darkest Hour. He sells merch on their tours with them, amongst many other things. Brian?
Hey, what's going on?
What's going on? All right. So we just listened to End with their song Gaping Wounds of Earth. You have any stories about End?
They're just so good.
Right.
I finally got a chance to see them on the Misery Signals farewell tour, on the second added show for the Brooklyn date. I was so excited to just go to that show because I've been such a big fan of Misery Signals for the longest time. And just having End be there as their direct support was just, you know, icing on the cake. Yeah.
Tell me about Misery Signals.
I love that show. Or
well, continue your thought there. You love.
I'm a big fan of Counterparts. Okay. I felt like I was really excited to see, you know, what that came about, you know, like when End first started and stuff, and you know, I only got to see Counterparts maybe one time, so just a treat, you know, to see a band that doesn't really, you know, tour that often.
Counterparts, we're talking the band.
What were you saying?
We're talking. Well, I was going to ask you about Misery Signals, but now I'm going to ask you about Counterparts. This is from Hamilton, Ontario, the band Counterparts, right?
Yeah.
I played one of their songs. They have a new album out just recently, in the last, I think, in February.
It's really good too.
Yeah, you saw Counterparts once? Is this the show? It was Counterparts, Misery Signals, and End in Brooklyn. You saw this show?
No, it was Foreign Hands, Trench, and Misery Signals.
Okay.
I saw Counterparts on the Private Room tour or something. I think is what it was called.
Okay.
The 2.0 or whatever. I think they were with Stray from the Path.
Oh.
I saw that in Baltimore.
I like Stray from the Path. I saw they have a. Did you hear Kubrick Stare? Their new single.
No, actually, I did not know they had a new one out.
Check that out. Yeah.
Check that out. Yeah, I like those guys. I actually toured with them back in like 2011. They were the one of the opening bands on the Bleeding Through tour that I was on.
Okay.
When I was working with The Word Alive at that time.
The Word Alive?
Uh-huh.
This is a band?
It is. They're an American band. They're kind of along the lines of like the We Came as Romans, the Asking Alexandria kind of.
I saw We Came as Romans have a new single out this week.
Kind of bands.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Andy actually came to one of the shows in Detroit when we were on tour with Norma Jean last year. It's always a treat to see those guys.
Yeah. Brian, we're running out of time. It's 9:54 and a half, and I know we're running out of time because I can hear the other host coming in. There he is. Yeah. So, look, it's only in a 1-hour show, but clearly we have so many other things that we want to get to. So we're going to have you back, Brian. Will you come back?
Absolutely, man. I'd love to have it. Thank you so much for having me. This was great.
It's been my pleasure for sure. And the co-host will be back. He's been texting me all evening saying that he regrets not showing up. And I know he's listening. Yeah, he said he'll be here next Saturday. Say shame on you, Aldo. Say that, Brian.
Shame on you, Aldo.
That's right, Aldo.
Shame.
All right, so you know what? We're going to play Misery Singles. We're going to play Misery Signals. We're going to play Anchor from the album Mirrors. Brian, thanks so much for coming on the show. I'll reach out to you on Instagram and we'll talk. Whoops, no, we'll talk and we'll have you back. Sounds good?
Sounds good.
All right. Thanks, Brian.
Thank you.
All right, everyone. Let's do this. This is Anchor by Misery Signals, CGLO 1690 Electric Messiah Radio.
Listening. Yeah.